Hi friends, we will study chapter 3 and the service management part 2. Chapter 3 is on performance measurement in services. During first two chapters we have understood what is service organization, what is strategy, what is a operation strategy, relationship, importance of relationship into service management, and we have understood what is strategic alliances, and then culminates into service level agreements, etc. Now comes a stage where it is essential for us to understand how to measure the performance. Now performance, when I say it, is have you achieved what has been decided, and that's where our understanding will move into. It is both internal and it is both common criteria that you evaluate. Rather, it starts with common criteria. Earlier chapter 2 we have decided ke bhai, instead of finding out individualistic performance criteria, you derive a collective performance criteria. So it starts with collective performance criteria, where if it is achieved, fine. If it is not achieved, you determine not only the collective this thing, but you try and look into your aspect also. So same is out here. The performance criteria could be collective and individualistic, etc. So we'll try and understand this completely. There are statistical tools that gets applied, and there are various other methods available. So idea is, like, at the end of this chapter you must learn importance of measurement in service, importance of performance measurement in service, understand that there is a cost of quality, very important aspect that we are going to study in this. It is a measurement that you carry out. After you define your service, you carry out measurement. Not only you carry out measurement, you do various other things, which is a continuous improvement and all. But all this thing has its own cost. So how do you understand what is the cost of your quality itself? What is the cost of managing your quality? So that also needs to be understood. And then benefits of measurement in service. So what if you really measure your performance appropriately, what is the benefit that it will give you in your service? So that is a three core learning objectives. So basically performance measurement is the fundamental building blocks of TQM and a total quality organizations. As they say, there are very strong sayings, if you can't measure, you can't monitor. So that is what is, you have to have a criteria on which you are measured. So, instead, like direct marketing, when I tell students that when you plan your campaign, if you have a SMS, today you must be seeing it, many advertisements with come, that SMS word X so and so to a 7-digit telephone number, 56567 or something. So, you do that, then your relationship starts. So, that's a lead generation activity. So, how your direct marketing this thing was effective? That you determine, that once you give this SMS as a route, you define your earlier this thing, that I expect 1 million SMS to come. Now if you get less than 1 million, that means you have not performed. If you get more than 1 million, then you have performed above, etc. So this is a way various things can be measured. Here when we talk, it takes a complete quality management cycle into perspective. It's a complete management TQM, total quality management perspective in mind, which we will understand as we move forward, to make your entire organization a very quality centric organization. Quality of service delivery, that is very critical. So fundamentally the measurement is a building block, and if you start measuring, you are start making your organization a quality centric organization, and you reach closer to your total quality management goals. Organizations have always measured performances in terms of financial performances. Yes, age-old practice of managing performance was culminating somewhere or the other into financial aspects. So what is my liquidity to fixed assets, or what is my ROI, return on investment, or return on capital employed, etc. However, what we are talking about is moving beyond finance, moving more onto measures which are action supporting, measures which are process supporting, measures which are outcome supporting, etc. So we go beyond finance we develop measures which will help you to exactly measure this particular part of the process or a chain and its impact or productivityness, etc. In a successful total quality organization, performance will be measured by the improvement seen by the customers as well as by the results delivered. So performance, when you do a measurement, it is not necessarily an internal target that you fix. Performance needs to be also measured from customer's perspective. Very important. You might determine that this is what I will achieve, but you must also determine what is it, what is the impact on customer's mindset, what is the impact on customer. So that is what is very critical in terms of your performance measurement criteria. You have to study both ways, customer first and then your internal result based criteria. Service account for more than 65% of the GDP in most developed countries. Why this statement? Because it's high time. If anywhere the performance measurement that has to come, it has to come in the service industry, because they contribute significantly into the GDP of any nation. Same is the case with even India now, as I mentioned earlier. So it is high time that we make our service delivery measurable so that we are able to create an improvement plan and we continue to improve our service delivery and create more growth for the organization and for the nation also. Improvement in service sector will bring more prosperity. So services require a lot of back-end support to be developed. The back-end requires human interventions. There may be infrastructure, there may be other supports required. So for creating all those things, you will require resources available within that country. So there is going to be an all-round prosperity, as we say, if service is improved. Overall service focus of the company and the country, if improves, it will bring more prosperity. Service can be measured using statistical quality control and improvement tools. So as earlier also mentioned, this measurement, like in financial, this thing, you have a financial measurements criteria, that is a ratio of calculating return on investment or return on capital, etc. Here there are statistical tools that come into picture that helps you to measure your performance, and there are tools which help you to improve it also. So that is what gets covered under performance measurement in service. That brings us to a very important question. Why measure the performance? You know, is there a need for measuring performance? Why measure the performance? So as they say, you cannot manage what you cannot measure. This is one very powerful statement that I have seen it right from beginning of my career, where we even started learning what is quality and, you know, subject of ISO and all. Around those time we started learning TQM and all. This is a statement which powerfully used in, even in subsequent ISO and other QS 9000 parameters when they came, etc. What they say, you cannot manage what you cannot measure. So to manage something, you need to measure something. Measurement will give you a perspective as whether you are on par, below par or above par, and based on that, it helps you to develop an improvement plan that will improve your service delivery. Performance measurement plays an important role in identifying and tracking progress against organizational goal. Each organization has attuned themselves. As I said, the corporate strategy focuses on service deliverable goals or service deliverable strategy. If your business unit and team unit strategy are not aligned to the corporate strategy, you will be working as a dysfunctional unit. To avoid that, organization always try to often see that they are aligned, and that aligned this thing should lead you to achieve your organizational goal. So performance measurement will help you to track whether you have achieved your organizational goal, whether you have achieved your corporate goal, and furthermore the business unit and team goals, etc. Identifying opportunities for improvement. When you measure, various nodal points, various points will emerge where either there is a far exceeding than the better performances, or there are points where performance is falling below expectation. This fall itself is causing overall criteria, overall measurement output to come down. So it is an opportunity in itself. It is not an error or it is not a mistake of anybody. It is that this is how you have been working. This is how the outcome is coming. So need is to look at ways to improve rather than blaming each other, because you are working in a collective environment during service industry. Point is, if this criteria is below my laid down objective, what is ailing it? You all will sit together, the cross-functional team, or you know, supplier agreement if it is there, the people in the supply chain will sit together to find out what is it that is ailing. And therefore, these criteria are not able to come up to the expectation, and that will lead to an improvement in itself. So that improvement will collectively benefit everybody in the supply chain. Comparing performance against both internal and external standards, very critical. Internal and external standards is that I am trying to highlight. Within an industry or within an organization, it is very easy to set a standard. But these standards are set by you considering your comfort level, or you will never reach to a discomfort level. You will never reach a set a standard which will probably make everybody uncomfortable. Therefore, they are not the right benchmark. So what is your benchmark? Benchmark has to be the external standards. Benchmark has to be how industry average. So if logistics company has to set a standard of delivery turnaround, it is not important that you set your delivery turnaround target, which is improvement over your previous year. It is important to see that overall the logistics industry, what is the delivery turnaround standard. If you are below that standard, then even if you are taking a higher standard, you are taking a non-stretch target, as they say. So point is, like, you develop your performance standard not only based on your internal this thing, you have to also see the external standards that is available. As they say, external benchmark always gives you a clue whether overall you are doing better than the industry or above than the industry. So that external benchmarks are supposedly considered while you develop your performance measurement approach to your services. Okay, we go to next slide where we continue to understand the reasons why one must measure performance. Requirements are to ensure customer requirements have been met. You know, primarily the first thing that comes out of your measuring performances are that you know that you have achieved what you have embarked upon. That is your that most important measurement or the most important service goal, which is customer oriented, whether that is met or not. So having done that, it to set sensible objectives and comply with them, you have embarked on an objective which is pursued by everybody relentlessly. You may achieve, you may not say probably achieve. As you keep doing it, you know, it brings in a lot of sensibility in the objective setting. Every cross-functional this thing have learnt about it, every stakeholders have learnt about it, etc. So every time when you set the goals, etc., the objectives, you will probably be getting more sensible to it and you will want to comply with it. Having done and having achieved it, that gives you that power of taking on things, and that when comes internally, it will really bring the cohesiveness within the organization. The cross-functional silos will be broken. People will work together, keeping the customer interest in mind, etc. The entire service culture will really flourish to provide standards for establishing comparisons. Measurements standalone can happen, which will no doubt give you whether you have achieved or not, which is more or less, as I told you earlier also, people may set targets based on their internal experience. But in our journey to improve, you need to also benchmark it against something, which is benchmark against industry or benchmark against the best of the industry, etc. So that's where it helps you to compare, compare with your competition, compare with the industry average, etc. So that's what the measurement criteria, it helps you to compare. Comparison will bring out your relative picture. So that relative picture, whether that is better than the average, better than the competition, etc., will come out. To provide visibility and a scoreboard for people to monitor their own performance level. Scoreboard is something that we look at and we know, what is the run rate required to, like, where do we stand, if we have to win, how much we have to do, etc. The similar thing comes out here looking at the scoreboard being visible, which is available, the team will get a complete perspective as to where they stand, where they have to go, therefore what is required to be additionally now done to achieve that, etc. So overall performance level will increase. So measurement will help you to set that scorecard. You develop a scoreboard which will be then monitored on a regular period. The regularity of the monitoring or measurement will give the people a status which tells them where they are, where they are supposed to head to, and that will create a need in them. They will self-evaluate whether performance is better, average, poor, and they will therefore come together as a team and will start working in improving that to highlight problems and determine areas for priority attention. Nodes, the point, the place or the process where there is going to be more problem, like when you evaluate your entire service cycle, you will come to know that from where the problems have been originating, what is the area where you encountered a service non-delivery, etc. So that will give you a starting point where then you assess what led to that service failure, what could be done better, etc. So that's where your improvement aspects will start. No doubt the improvement aspect is required in almost all the parameters, whether you are doing well or not. But at least the areas where you are not doing well, your attention is definitely focused on there. From there, you can prioritize the action that you need to really work upon, something which you can probably take it little later, etc. Provide feedback for improvement efforts. As you have embarked on an improvement, a regular monitoring, regular performance measurement will give you a feedback. What change that you have brought in, is it effective? Is it yielding you desired result or not? So even it helps you to monitor yourself. It gives you a feedback on your improvement that is being carried out. And if it is favorable, yes, you continue and you ensure that you continue to do that. If it is not really leading to where you should be, you will then take a course correction. You have an opportunity to correct yourself at that particular point of time. So that's another reason why you should do this regular performance measurement. Regular performance review helps in formulation of strategic direction. Regular performance measurement will really unveil, will really open the treasure of information that will give you a confidence in what you are doing, or it will tell you where you are really slipping it up. All put together, that will be the base for your future strategic direction. As I told you, strategy always gives a direction, followed by internalizing it through an operation strategy, or say corporate strategy gets aligned with business unit and team strategy, etc. So all put together, a direction has to come. For that direction to really emerge, the past performance evaluations always help. It tells you whether you always set an overambitious target, unachievable target, or whether you have set achievable target, stretch but achievable. So it gives you your bandwidth of how much you can stretch, etc. So all that is possible only if you have a proper measurement system in place. It helps you to identify strengths and weaknesses. Of course, you will come to know what are your plus, what are your negatives, where do you do well than expected, where do you not achieve what you plan to achieve, etc. All as a result will still give you a opportunity to way forward. It helps in improving quality and productivity. Criteria when measured against performance criteria. A natural corollary to that is, besides the efficiency part, there is a productivity aspect. So naturally, when the processes are dissected, there are two things are generally looked upon. One is the efficiency part of it. The second is a productivity part of it. Even before that, we ask a question whether this process, in the light of today's technology and infrastructure, is this process required or not. So then after the redundancy or a validity of the process, you look at whether it has been done efficiently, and if it is not done efficiently, when you remove that non-efficiency part, you create a productivity. So it helps you to really improve finally your productivity of various processes, whether parameters that you have set. It also important to understand the impact of TQM on your improvement in business. All this measurements helps you to strengthen your total quality management system. Total quality management system supposed to improve your business. Now, when you put the measurement, this thing into right perspective, what you will come to know is whether improvement in the business is a result of TQM initiative or not, or it is something else that is leading to the improvement in the business, etc. So you can differentiate the improvement in business is on account of TQM and on account of other parameters. Other parameters could be both internal, external. It could be that market has improved, it could be that competition has fallen, it could be that more opportunities got created, etc. But there are reasons which are the productivity oriented results, which are the quality improvement oriented results, that also can be found out in your total improvement. So it helps you to diagnose and know total effort and the cost that you put behind TQM, whether that is yielding you the desired result or not. Performance on sustaining current performance or arresting the decline, etc. So as it is mentioning, you can at a right stage either arrest what is not happening correctly, or you can create a environment where what small steps that you have taken and resulting into a productive outcome, you can then translate this into a very, very rugged system for many people to follow. And if that happens, the overall productivity, efficiency and outcome will improve, and that will really reflect in your business performance, outcome being improving, etc. So what we have understood is a need for you to manage or measure the performances, and we have understood the reasons behind, etc. also, and how, if it is done, will benefit you overall. So now we come to a very important next subject matter under total quality management, is the cost of quality management. So performance management of services gets covered through a subject called total quality management. We have understood there why the performance needs to be monitored and the reasons for doing it and what probably benefit that you get out of it. Now we come to a very important subject matter of cost of quality measurement. While you put your TQM in perspective, whether you, when you apply your TQM in your organization, what is naturally happening is you also incur cost on producing quality. You not only incur cost on producing quality, you also incur cost on monitoring quality. You also include cost on measuring quality. So this makes a total TQM cost. At some point of the time, one must ensure that this total cost on quality management is yielding you higher revenue, or this cost itself is higher than the revenue that you get out of it, etc. So at some point of time, the judicious call that needs to be taken. So what is coming out is that you also need to manage your cost in the quality measurement. So that's where this subject is touching upon. Please don't take it as a cost of a product or something. It is now going to enlighten you on cost of managing the quality itself. So, but it is always fruitful, as most of the thinkers have put in place. It may give you a period, over a period of time. It may not be in the immediate first year that you start gaining the benefit, etc. So you may have to have some time-based perspective in mind. But it is definitely better than cost of not monitoring the performance. Many organizations have taken a call that they will not bother to monitor the cost of non-performance. They take things as it comes, etc. But that cost actually is far more higher than what probably the cost of quality management could be and the benefit that it can derive for you. So instead of putting a blind eye towards managing the cost of quality, embark on a journey of quality improvements and then get into the mold of monitoring the cost of quality management itself. When you do this, overall the outcome that you get over a period of time is going to be really much better, productive for you. If you are productive, the entire this thing will translate into your service supply chain management, your strategic alliances and all will also start reflecting all those things. Cost of quality is also an important quality improvement indicator. It sounds that once you start monitoring your cost of quality itself, then to monitor that also is one of the improvement indicator. Whether you are now managing your quality at a lesser cost than what it used to be before, or whether you are optimally managing your quality. So optimal, this thing is a balance between the result and the cost that you incur. Quality related activities that will incur cost may be split into. So as we mentioned, there is a cost that you incur to manage your quality. Prevention cost is associated with the design, implementation and maintenance of the TQM system. Prevention is like you try to prevent. As they say, prevention is better than cure. So it's like you try not to allow something to wrongly happen. For that, you have put in your total quality management system in place. You have defined your processes. You have set out the norms of, you know, validations, and you have set out how various things that needs to happen, how process A should comply with and pass it on to B, and what process B should add value by complying to and pass it on to C, who eventually transfers it to the customer for that expected service delivery. Now, in this case, when this is done, you have already incurred a cost for that, which is a cost which is recognized as a preventive cost. Product or service requirement, setting specifications or incoming material, etc. See, the prevention cost can also be at a product level. In the inventory which is coming in from your suppliers, you conduct a statistical quality measurement test. So you will either at a certain random numbers, or you will do 100% check, or you will do 1 in 10 checks, etc. When you do that and you find out the rejection rate of parts that you rejected, etc., whether that is as per your agreed terms of condition or not and all. So all this thing, when you do it, naturally the parts that you have taken into your system are the one which is complying with your basic requirement specification. So it is expected that the product that you manufacture will also be of the expected quality. So that's an aspect of a preventive measurement, and preventive measurement related costs. So to ensure that whenever all the raw materials are coming in, we have put in a system where somebody, some tools and equipments which will be used to do a random checks or a statistical check of the goods that is coming in. So that cost which is incurred is known as a preventive maintenance cost, and a preventive quality measurement cost. So that's a preventive. Then comes, there's a cost, similarly I'm trying to give you quality planning, creation of a plan for quality, reliability, operational and production and inspection. So you create a complete plan which will really lead to proper checks at the right time on product, process, etc. Quality assurance, that is, you maintain and ensure that, you know, your system delivers quality as expected. So it is not only assurance, not only creates a quality scenario, but also it is working to ensure that whenever these steps are followed, what will come out is an assured quality products, etc. So that's why they are known as a quality assurance. So there's a cost to that. Training, development, preparation and maintenance of the program. So you have to develop your people, you have to develop, make them understand what is TQM, make them understand the value for it, make them understand entire shift in the cultural look at the organizations to how each one can collectively produce a better result, etc. All those things when you have to put in to prevent something wrong that is to happen, that's a prevention cost of a quality measurement. And then comes the appraisal cost. Appraisal cost is nothing but associated with the suppliers and customers evaluation of purchase material, processes, product and services. So here's the associated with the suppliers and customers evaluation of purchase material, processes, products and services. It involves customers on one hand evaluating your product and services. He may or may not accept it as you thought so. The other end, supplier, you know, you have to appraise your supplier. This is like generally a cost that you incur in evaluating the supplier. So if Sona Steering has to become an eligible supplier of, say, Maruti, so there will be a way, process that has to be followed where the inspection, the plant facilities, Maruti team A, then followed by team B, if it is finally recommended, team C will go and, you know, give a stamp of approval, etc. So these are all appraisal being carried out on supplier. There will be a regular probably visits to them, pre-planned or, you know, this thing, etc. So all this known as an appraisal cost. You keep appraising every time whether goods and services are complying or not, etc. Customer end, he accepts or rejects your product, etc. That's also a cost. So you have to keep monitoring evaluation at the customer end. So it involves verification, checking of incoming material, product as per the agreed specs, quality audits, check needs to verify whether quality system is working correctly. You have defined your quality system, you need to check whether that itself is working or not correctly. So whether that system that has been defined is rugged enough to improve, rugged enough to prevent, etc. If not, despite that system being in place and being followed, still the rate of rejection is high, still the product non-acceptance are high, etc., service failures are high, etc., then it's the quality system itself which is to be checked. Yeah. So when you do that, you are again incurring an appraisal cost. Vendor rating, assessment or approval of the supplier, I gave you that example already about Sona steering at Maruti, this thing. So that's a vendor approval and verification cost, etc. So that's an appraisal cost. Then comes the failure cost associated with the result of work failed to reach design quality standards and are detected before they are transferred to the customers. Yeah. So what is the failure that is happening at the customer end of the product that you have supplied to them, whether the customer accepted the service or the product as it is expected or there is a rejection. So this rejection is a cost to you. Yeah. So a cost that is associated with the failures when customer checks the material can result from internal or external failures, could be as a result of yours or could be as a result of your service provider who failed to deliver. So for example, a florist, which is an online florist shop, now they have like kind of a tied up with, you know, a florist within the area. They have given him the enough material so that look and feel is created as if it has come from the this particular florist online whom you have given the order. They are trained, etc. But what if he sends to a guy who's never handled the delicate flowers and he mishandles it? So that's an external failure. Internal this thing, the detected goods before they are transferred to customers. Now there are again two deviations to that. Internal can be internal, which is detected before the goods are transferred. Yani you manufacture the goods, you are transferring the goods to the customer. Before that, you carry out your random checks. And if you find that, no, there is a problem with this batch, so stop this batch. So you do that kind of a preventive this thing, which is a failure cost. Yani the goods any which ways is not going to customer. Cost that you have incurred on doing such thing is a failure cost. There is another internal this thing could bring out waste, scrap, rectification and failure analysis related cost. Level of waste that you create or the scrap that gets generated, rectification that you need to do to ensure that the okay, you found out the defect, okay, minor rectification cost incurred will make the product suitable. So you get into those rectifications and failure analysis, why the product has failed and all. So that kind of a cost overall adds up to your failure cost. So as we have understood, the appraisal cost, prevention cost, appraisal cost and failure cost, that is adds to the cost of quality measurement. And this particular chapter highlights how do you measure and manage cost of quality as we move forward. There are external failures, as I told you, detected after goods are transferred to customers. So, external, like you have transferred the goods to customers, customer detects the fault and therefore customer raises a rejection, this thing. External could be due to repair and servicing or a warranty claim or complaints or return or recall goods. Yeah, and today recalls are happening, cars are being recalled for some defects. Warranty means, you know, there is a part warranty. If the part fails before that, we have to replace it. Yeah, so that's a warranty claims and all. Repair and servicing, yeah, if there is a mechanical problem that has happened, then you need to depute your guy and who will repair it, etc. So that's all this thing which has happened due to external reasons. In the sense, goods have already been transferred to customer end and then these problems are coming up, which is adding to your cost of managing quality. So that's what management of quality as a aspect we can say that you have to understand. So that is the total cost of managing the quality. So now how do you get into managing this particular quality measurement cost? So expenditure on prevention and improvement activities and investment from which a return is expected and resulting to future benefit. So whatever that investment that you do in terms of time, money, energy, etc., there is a return expected. Now this return expectation is need to be measured. This needed to be measured very correctly. And as a result, the result could be reduced failure cost. So when you do this, when you embark on this, there could be reduced failure cost. Your cost incurred due to product being failed, either internally or externally, that will come down. Lower appraisal cost. When you do a rugged system of quality assessment, appraisal cost, as I told you earlier, that will come down. So your cost of appraisal of system and all will come down. Increase market share. Your market share will increase, means your product will find more acceptance. Increase customer base. Your customer base will get increased, and more productive workforce. If this happens, workforce time and energy on maintaining quality or just maintaining repair and rectification, etc., will saved, and therefore they will be able to invest time into productive production, etc. So overall their productivity will get increased. Many organizations take service quality as a way forward, in a very competitive, tightly placed market, where product feature may be hardly any reason for customer to choose from. It's like, how do you bring that equity with the brand? How do you bring the confidence in the brand that pulls the customer? After long time, we see a very new example that has been embarked upon by Lloyd. Lloyd Group manufactures white goods, which includes air conditioners and other product range. They have come out with a film on Khushiyon Ki Guarantee. These advertisements are being released very extensively these days on air, in which a heroine is been used as a brand ambassador, where a mechanic is talking to the secretary of the heroine, and there's a dialogue, and then he says, why should you have her number instead, take my number. And she comes in to say, why टिट्टू जी आप ये सब मत पढ़ो, वो बंदा एक ही नंबर मांग रहा है, विच इज नंबर ऑफ माई KKG. सो हियर लॉयड हैज पुट इन अ सिस्टम एंड दे आर कन्वेइंग अप फ्रंट दैट वेन अवर सर्विस पर्सन इज एट योर डोर स्टेप, डज द सर्विस, यू विल पैरेलली गेट अ कोड.